Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast with all three of us here this evening. Joining myself, Stephen Goldsmith, and life enthusiast Gareth Barker is Craig Clark. Quickly, I'd like to thank you all who came along last week to the live podcast, by the way. Lots asking if it's going out, but unfortunately we had recording difficulties, so we can't put it out, i.e. it wouldn't work.
Yeah, we spent about 90 minutes trying to get it working. Great stress, but I think the sound card and the laptop computer just wasn't interested. But we've got a production meeting after this, eh? We've got some plans about what we're going to do about the situation to make it better for everyone, including ourselves.
Enjoyed it though anyway, and more of you coming up and speaking to us at the bar afterwards as well, which is great. Keep doing that. Okay, beard looks tremendous, Craig, by the way.
Thanks, Steve. Yours is coming along
nicely. No, I don't know. Well, you know, you're such an influential figure, Craig.
Apparently so.
Last time Craig was on, a couple of months back, we were talking about how he's a bit of a hippie these days and he's spent time finding himself.
He's moved to South Shields to find himself. Have you managed yet? Found yourself yet? Or?
It's not really about finding yourself.
He hasn't found himself yet.
He didn't find the studio on time.
Misinterpreting the idea of self. We'll not go into that.
One in the eye for the Sandys there. He's moved there and hasn't managed to find himself. Should have stayed in Sunderland.
Graham Anderson was supposed to be here this evening, but he's off with Chris Young, Gary Bennett, Rob Mason. They're all deciding the best 100 post-war Sunderland signings, which is a feature for the Sun and Echo, which would be interesting. Kevin Phillips, number one, lads?
I would have thought so.
Niall Quinn would be number one.
Because I said to Graham earlier, I said, well, I can help you out there, Graham. It'll be Kevin Phillips, number one. And he said, well, I think we're unanimous in that.
Anonymous.
My speech patterns are anonymous.
Let's move on.
This has gone insane.
That's the name of the podcast, sort of, then. And then this what week was it's anonymous.
Yeah, I lost my train of thought. Yeah, and then I thought, well, it could be Niall Quinn.
No, it's got to be Quinn because of the influence. If we hadn't signed him, he wouldn't have taken over the club and turned it around like he did, so.
It depends if you're talking about on the field, you would say.
I think there's got to be for a variety of reasons, hasn't there? I think, I would have someone like Mal Brant in because I loved watching him, even though his contribution in the history of Sunderland wasn't that great. But everyone's got their own personal preferences and stuff.
That'd be interesting to meet them, wouldn't it? Because you've got to factor all these things in, haven't you?
Obviously the more recent ones, we're going to mention them because it's our lifetime. Yeah. But post wars, you know, that's what 70 years, so. There's a lot of players in that period.
Yeah, I think Rob Mason would be the man for the pre-70s, probably, I'd imagine. I bet that's pretty interesting discussion and conversation. Yeah.
Like you said, well, we've just said the stuff you've got to factor in there. You know, do you just consider their performances on the field, or do you factor in other things, like you say, Quinny, after he stopped playing, or like you said, is it people who were like easy on the eye, like Mal Brant? Or people who are.
Would Sessegnon get in?
Sessegnon wouldn't be anywhere.
Do you pull the stats out? Well, would he not? Did he?
Can you have loan signings?
Probably. Johnny Evans would probably get in, wouldn't he?
No.
Yeah, he would, I think.
100 in the last 70 years, and you're going to put Johnny Evans in.
But you got to remember that.
A couple of times.
But the standard of football in a lot of that section was diabolical, and we had some really bad players.
And he was sort of influential in us winning the league that year, like, and the season when he came back.
Someone like Carlos Edwards, who has only really played for Sunderland for 6 months, was so instrumental in that period of history.
You're focusing on a very recent period.
I am, but I'm just saying the discussion points that you'd probably.
But then most of the readers are probably going to.
This is like, you know, we're discussing a discussion that's happening between some other people.
We're
like
having a discussion
entering
ourselves.
Their minds.
We're just saying how we would do it, though.
Yeah. I know.
We do it better. That's why how we do it. Not really.
Yeah, I could only really do it
for the last 10 years. I'd have to discount a few years off when I was drunk all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I think what we should do, Stephen, is get in touch with them and produce a couple of one-off podcasts where they talk us through the selection process and talk about some of the players. I think that would be quite interesting.
Possibly, but the brains could be frazzled after like talking about it for like 2 hours, because I bet they don't agree on it.
100 players in 2 hours, that's quite an effort. We've come up with about six in about
and
three,
I wouldn't have half
minutes.
Of the minute.
Well, you're just miserable.
No, yeah, not at all. You're just discounting large sections.
Imagine when you get past the first like 20 or something, I bet it's hard. To sort of think, right, who's going to be 97 in this list?
Well,
and
I just
trawling through all the players.
Like you say, I don't really know much sort of pre-1990 or whatever, because I know names, but I couldn't tell you what their contribution was and stuff like that.
I think
like,
my argument would be for the recent thing is that what the current run in the top flight is the longest run post-war we've had in the top flight, so I think that does count for something. the quality of players that we're going to have in this era are probably greater than some of the past. That would be my argument for
at a higher standard.
Yeah, I
saw someone on Twitter earlier mention it to Graham and say, "Oh, I bet you wouldn't have many players in from the last 10 years." But then you think, well, Lee Cattermole's going to be up there if you contextualise it, isn't he?
Because you've got to remember as well,
Consistently playing top flight football now, and he's an influential figure in that.
It's not best players, it's best signings.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's a different thing. If you look at somebody like, would you have Simon Mignolet on the basis that we pay, how much did we pay for Simon Mignolet?
I don't know, but again, it's like.
And then we sold him on for like 12 million quid. You've made like a £10 million profit on a player that you've bought.
But you could make 100 players out of the last 10 years. That just shows you how difficult it is, because they're not all going to be out the last 10 years.
No, I'm not. But I'm not saying, we're just talking about the context. What you'd, how you'd.
No, I know, and I'm just saying. But you're going to extend it beyond that, aren't you? I mean, would you have someone like Jim Baxter in, who was, by all accounts, not at his best when he was at Sunderland?
Apparently, wasn't very good.
But in a similar vein to Mal Bronk, probably. You know, my dad loved him.
Mm.
Like Frank Worthington. How long did he play for Sunderland?
Similar to the Baxter one, wasn't it?
Brian Dean, yeah.
Peter Davenport,
Andy Cole,
yeah.
Lee Chapman.
He was a different one, apparently, a little bit before our time still.
Yeah, slightly before our time. Just picking out names of that type of player coming to the end of his career, coming to Sunderland.
Should we talk about the quality of the player at the weekend? Because
we've got about 90 other players to pick for our top 100. The wise men say top 100 signings.
We're just ripping the agenda up and going for that. Yeah.
Might as well.
It's what the listeners want, I'm sure. But another draw, Craig. This was supposed to be the game we were going to kick on, right?
Mm, I think it was always going to be a lot tougher than that, wasn't it? And it's so
West Ham are flying, aren't they?
No, they're not just flying. They've got an experienced manager and a really good Premier League side, in my opinion. Watching them on the weekend, thought we were probably about deserved a draw, but on the whole, I think they probably shaded the best chances. Apart from Wickham's effort from range, I think they troubled our keeper more than we troubled theirs. It was that moment where Cresswell got in down the left. Pantilimon, who's in continuing to impress, did well to thwart that one.
Mm.
I went into the game thinking a draw would probably be a decent result, despite the fact we've drawn so many games, just because they are doing well. Carroll's back, you thought he's bound to score. Nolan's in the squad, he's bound to score. I mean, Carroll, just on him alone, you think Liverpool selling him and then bringing in the likes of Balotelli and Lambert, I think if they just persevered with Carroll, he's a really good footballer. He's a weapon in the air, but he's brilliant with both feet. He can pass it. He's a good footballer.
The stigma, if that's the right word, attached to him and in association with a direct and long ball, I think Rodgers done that. That
they didn't play that.
I think Rodgers just did that as a statement. I thought this player's associated with this kind of style.
Whatever the reasons were, whether it was, I think it was, in my opinion, a mistake. When he's fit, he's really good, and I thought he had a good game, and he was difficult, but at the same time our defence caught well with him.
He didn't really have he had a couple of that chip and then the shot from the edge of the box,
that was good, that shot from the edge of the box. Mm-hmm.
They are playing well,
Gareth, and it is relevant. So a lot of the sort of doom merchants think it isn't, but it is. However, you do get a point, don't you, where you think, right, okay, we still need to beat some of these teams, because it seems to be the case that all these teams are coming here, like Man United, Everton, Tottenham, and to be fair, these teams generally win up here. The odd season they don't, but last season they all did. Swansea won here last season.
West Ham won here last season.
But it does come to a point, doesn't it, where you think, well, decent Premier League sides do win some of these games, and that's the issue, isn't it?
I think that in some of the games they've done enough to win them, but they just haven't. The Swansea game's a good example of that, where they did enough to win it and didn't. Again, they created the chances they needed to win the game against West Ham, and they just didn't take them.
Is it a worry that the goal we scored was a penalty, Craig?
A little bit.
It wasn't a chance per se.
We didn't really create much, did we?
Johnson did that himself, didn't he?
Obviously, the one chance, the big one, didn't end in a shot. It was great football in the build-up. Larson, who was man of the match in my opinion, busting along, getting forward. I mean, he's actually starting to look quite a creative element as well as a grafter. I really like him.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think if there was one game that converted the rest of the doubters about Seb Larson, this one was it. You've been a Seb Larsson fan a lot longer than I have, and I've been converted for a few weeks now, but I think this was the final one where, you know, you go out in the pubs afterwards and people were commenting on how good Larsson was.
He was very good. I think Poyet...
Just the role Poyet's created from? Because O'Neill sort of just dropped him into a two-man centre midfield system and he was like a headless chicken, wasn't he?
I think with Larsson, I think the issue was, you know, again, like you say, the inability to see what the good work he does. Maybe you're looking for different things from players, and you know it's not a trendy sort of. He's not doing trendy, clever things with the ball. He's just keeping it simple. I think this weekend
he's doing more than he was.
Yeah,
I know.
I think this weekend that Poyet talked in the week about they'd been working on attacking, and I think you could see that because we were definitely getting more players in the box. At times in the first half, didn't so much in the second half. I think maybe revert the type a little bit, but they were definitely getting more players in the box, coming onto things, and that was good to see. And Larsson was one of the ones who was making those late runs in there.
Well, we'll hear from Gus about the West Ham game in general now.
Frustrated. Yeah, I don't like it. I think it's missing very little. We're doing everything we can, and this is what we are. You know, this is us. I don't think you can ask for more. So, reality, no? Every point, it looks like it takes everything from the players. It's a massive effort. It's an incredible way of trying and defending and going forward and crossing and putting balls. But then, that's where we are.
That's where we are. Nobody was listening to that.
He's fed up. Yeah. He's fed up, isn't he?
It was just the way you said it. It kind of came out of the blue. That, you know.
I can tell.
Because a clip ran out before I was ready for it.
Exactly.
He's fed up, and he's fed up with drawing games. It's a really odd situation. Then you're not losing, but you're not winning games when you should. You look as though you should be winning them. And that's the worry, because there'll be games later in the season where we'll look as though we should have won and we've lost. And that's what you want to be worried about. Will you capitalise on opportunities in games later on?
And how long can the players stay motivated to set up in a certain way and not to lose games if eventually you're going to get sick of not winning? Well, perhaps that could be a danger.
The two things, I think, that are kind of preventing us from winning games at the moment is the fullback situation.
Massive that for me.
And the midfield three. Which,
for me, Clive.
Well, that midfield three, as much as we've all wanted it, they're all giving you 7 or 8 out of 10, which is fantastic. However, they're giving you 7 or 8 out of 10 by being industrious and keeping it simple, as you said about Seb earlier. But none of them really look like they're going to kind of open a team up for you. And it's putting a lot of onus on one player, which is pretty much Adam Johnson at the minute when he starts. And if it's not him, it'll be Will Buckley, and who really hasn't quite looked up to this level, in my opinion, yet anyway. So until we've got fullbacks who are creating a bit of space, that midfield three maybe needs to be broken up. And as much as I liked all three of them on the weekend, I thought they all performed well, none of them were gonna break the opposition down.
Well, I want to build on that point now. We'll hear Gus talk about his tactics and why he's playing the way he is, but I want to follow on from what you were saying there.
Lately, when we are at home, for whatever reason we need to drop, we miss a little bit of people going behind. I think Josie does it a bit better than Fletcher, and then maybe when we're on the top of the game or the game was a little bit more open, to have Fletcher on the box was just a decision. I think it was it worked for a long period. I think, you know, if Josie scored, you would be saying to me what a great decision you made, and it didn't happen. But searching, I think I need to find the formula, because at the moment, like I said, this is the group we go and we need to go like that. If I go a little bit deeper into what I like, we should be passing the ball better, but we don't have the quality to do that. Fullbacks, they become a very, very important part of my system, and we play with a centre half and a player like Anthony that is giving us the biggest help that you can have in football nowadays, because he's a right back playing left back, 35 years old, for the first time in England without playing for 4 months. So it's outstanding what he's been doing. But he's not the player that we want in the last third to go and cross with his left foot. then we need that crosses and that final pass and decision to be much better, which at the moment there is not. And then you need a goal scorer. You know, me as a player, I started every season thinking if I don't score double figures, I'm not good enough. Now, that's what the people up front need to find out. And don't tell me that we didn't have chances today, because then we start lying to ourselves. You know, we have shots from outside the box, from the diagonal, crosses, second balls, rebounds. You know, you need to find the way. And that frustrated. That frustrated because it's a part of the game that I doubt that I can improve it dramatically. I think I can help them, but that's something out of my hands.
We understand what Gus is trying to do with his squad, Gareth. We do need to bide our time with it as fans. To kind of try to do what a lot of fans want, go out and be open, look what happened there. You need to be realistic. But is anything more that Gus could be doing, a little tweak here and there, either a change of personnel, a change in tactics? I've got some things I want to bring up.
I don't know at the moment. I think maybe the substitution he could have made when he brought Alvarez on, he maybe could have taken Gomez off and had, you know, Larsson sitting a bit deeper with Cattermole and then given Alvarez a bit more of a free role in behind the forward, just to give him, you know, get an attacking player into good areas. I thought like Alvarez is some of his passing is brilliant, his incisive passing where he's playing it in behind people, it's very good. But you know, we watch Alvarez like that. I think that's the thing people are crying out for. He's the one where people think this guy is going to be the one who's going to open teams up. But when you watch him, does he look like a player who can start a game in the Premier League at the moment? Because I just can't see it.
I think you need to give it a try though. We won't know until he tries. And he's only playing 20 minutes, and sometimes it takes a player longer to get into a game.
Yeah, it does not. I think that's a fair point. He has looked stronger. Like when I quite like it when he doesn't just use the ball for the sake of it. Like he'll happily carry the ball the full width of the pitch,
because
looking for an option, and he can hold people off. I think that's it's clear that he's definitely got stronger.
What's interesting, people associating him with the impact sub role, which is understandable because he comes on a game stretched. But also there's the argument that if he starts a game, Craig, he could come on before it's stretched and players are not as settled, and you know, he could get in behind then.
It's hard to
you know
tell.
Before a game stretch and people be able to hold the position correctly and stuff. If the game's a little bit more frantic and suddenly he goes past the player,
if you play him from the start, you're not going to probably play him in a sort of instead of Gomez, for example. You're probably going to play him instead of Adam Johnson or instead of Connor Wickham. If you do that though, he's got a problem really, hasn't he? With he wants to play sort of two strikers, like you had Barini last season, and now he wants to use Wickham and get him close to be it Fletcher or Alters, but it means that because of the three we've got in the midfield, I don't feel like we've really got enough creativity without fullbacks. Like I agree with some of the stuff Gareth's saying about Alvarez's incisive kind of passing. Unfortunately, the ball was getting shuffled wide to Virginie, and I really like Virginie, but he just didn't have a clue what to do with it. He's in acres of space.
He looks like he's
hitting the first man with his cross.
He looks like he's spent in that position now, doesn't he? He looks like he's done a great job up till now, but he looks like he's ready. He looks he's ready in himself to move back in a
completely. He's not a fullback. He's not a fullback in the vein of the one that Gus Poyet's talking about wanting to have. Unfortunately, we don't really have any at the minute.
Jones is fit for Saturday.
How long is he going to be fit for? That's the issue with him, isn't it?
What's interesting, I'll just throw this one out there. West Ham player Diamond, right? Now, I've always spoke against playing two up front, Gareth, you know all that. And I think that's generally based on playing with a midfield pair in a 4-4-2, being overrun in the middle, rather than me being against playing two up front per se. Now, this Diamond formation that's re-emerged in the last sort of 12 months or so, when we spoke to Nigel, the West Ham fan, on the Into the Light show, he said they kind of stumbled across at the start of the season, not playing that, they weren't doing great. Suddenly they played that, I think they matched up Hull in one game, and it just clicked. Now, we could play that formation and play the same team, couldn't we? Really? Because I think Gomez and Larsson have both played out wide before, so I think they could play on the right and the left accordingly. Cattermole plays in the same position. He doesn't really move. But what it does is it gives Adam Johnson a better role, a more prominent role, because the problem with Johnson is he's lacking a yard of pace now, isn't he? And he, for all his composure and intelligence and flair on the ball, he sometimes gets a bit isolated because he doesn't have great players around him. And you just think, look what it's done for Downing, for example.
Well, the same thing's going through my head. However, West Ham have Carl Jenkinson and Aaron Cresswell at fullback.
But the fullbacks is going to... That's detrimental to whatever formation
I agree. But you're going from an already quite narrow system that we're using now to an even narrower one.
But it's just a little tweak, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Well, what I'm thinking is, because like you said there, he seems hell-bent on getting the two strikers on the field. So Wickham's playing out left at the minute, and he's trying to get close to the striker. But if he played the diamond formation, Johnson's influencing the game from the centre of the park rather than out on the touchline.
I think, to be honest, it's all semantics in a way anyway, because you see at Leicester some of our best moves with Johnson coming inside.
Yeah.
Alvarez was roaming when he come on. He was inside, he's in the middle. You can call it what you want. Unless we've got the right players in the right positions, like you say, you're still playing the same players. Our best chance, aside from the Alta door miss, was Wickham coming in close to Fletcher and them two linking up. Is that not the equivalent of a front two operating?
Of course.
I mean, you
mentioned the Leicester game, and me and Gareth both said when we had the game, sometimes on the ball it looked like a 4-4-2 anyway. You know, I do realise that. I'm not trying to sort of, you know, be really picky with what I'm saying.
No, not at all.
But it's still a different formation, a different system, tweaking things a little bit, because I think we're all agreed that we don't need drastic changes. Where just a little shuffle in formation, though, could just spark things off.
I'm not sure, because you need...
Gareth, is the quietest you've ever been. Are you just digesting this information?
I'm thinking.
I'd quite like to see Alvarez and Johnson on the pitch, or you can talk about Giaccherini coming back, and you could maybe sacrifice... It's harsh on Gomez. I don't think he's
Giaccherini
played badly.
Could play the Gomez role better, probably, couldn't
I'm
he?
Not having Gomez at all.
I thought he was okay on the weekend.
We know that,
again.
If you're sitting digesting information, don't say something you say every week. Come up with something better than that.
He's funny. He like does really good for like 10 minutes. He's really involved, and he's making things happen. He's keeping it ticking over. Then he'll disappear. But he's obviously helping out because the midfield never gets overrun. So he's a strange fella. Like, he's hard to pinpoint what he's doing.
I'm sure he's not a strange fella.
Well,
I'll just put that one out.
Nice
there.
Penalty as well. Yeah. I was a bit worried when he stepped.
I wasn't worried at all.
I don't know. I was wondering who would take it. Actually,
he took one for Wigan, didn't he?
I didn't know that. Yeah, I think we discussed it before, and I said it would be him.
Fair play. Yeah. Like, I thought it might have been Johnson himself.
I think
diamond formation, Gareth.
Diamond. I'm just not keen on having four. I think it's.
But it's a different four, isn't it?
I don't know. I think I'd just rather go with the 3-5-2 if I was going to change it ahead of a Christmas tree with a two in behind with a two in behind one forward.
I'm not having three.
I don't think we've got. I place Bridcut as a sweeper 4-1 in front, and then let's do that.
What I mean is, when I said about Larson and Gomez playing those roles, because of both players, there was an example. We were talking about the Atlador chance. The way Larson burst forward from that position, if he in the diamond formation, he would be playing that role.
But
he'd
be there more often. But where would he be when he's not? I mean, like, that's the thing. I think in reality, if we can talk about it, you know, to a blue in the face about whether he's going to play a diamond or what. He won't play a diamond.
He'll
play one withdrawn from the left as a sort of winger.
Unless
comes
he listens
striker.
To this.
Well, he has. I did suggest on the Into the Light that he put out the door in, and he did. So sorry about that.
That went well.
Yeah. Well, I think he actually for the four games he was involved.
He
and
was
he did
playing
all right
before that chance. To be fair, his head went though, didn't it?
Poor lad.
Well, not really poor lad. He scored 2 Premier League goals in over 60 games. That is poor, actually.
I know.
Poor lad.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, it just annoyed us at the weekend the way some people were going on about the whole thing. And it's just, I think it's embarrassing. Like, I think
he is embarrassing, I agree.
Just the hyperbole, you just hate it. It's garbage.
I think it gets to a point where you just get fed up of seeing somebody who is a laughing stock.
I know, but I just don't think there's any point, like, stringing the bloke up, you know, like some people want to. I'm not saying you do or whatever. I'm just saying I don't like that.
At the same time, it's hard to support. You know, people.
I'm not talking about supporters, by the way.
Oh, no, 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 no. I know. I should have maybe...
I'm not talking about supporters. Okay. I'm talking about other people and the way some people want to portray him. And
okay,
they'll quite happily take a lad who... he's trying and people will see he's earning this much a week or whatever. So what, right? It's not your money. Don't worry about it. I just think, you know... There's no point like taking somebody and making a story out of them, making a mockery out of them, just to like satisfy, like, I don't know what, why you do that.
Because it sells newspapers.
It's just dehumanising, I think. Like, you see a lot, like, it's easy to take comments of a manager or a player or whatever and stick them out there and put them out there and put a spin on it and you create a story in that, but I guess that's just part and parcel of...
That's the media, isn't it? That's the way the world works, whether we like it or not.
I think it's unpleasant. I understand why people do it, but, you know.
Wouldn't disagree with that. I just think, as well, supporters at this point as well are just... I mean, there was cheering when he went off, which I don't agree with, and I didn't do that. I didn't clap him off. I just stood. But...
You weren't sitting down?
Stood.
No.
I've got to get the bloody steward in.
Well, I know. Where have they gone? It's disappeared this year. No, but they've... it's just getting... Well, it's been long
it's
past the point.
To defend them, but it's...
It's,
but it keeps
it's long gone.
It's gone past the
I don't
point.
Think it's a, I don't think it's a case of having to just defend him or not. It's just... You know, you've just got to watch and... You know, it ebbs and flows and you say... You see it as you see it, really.
Is a striker the issue? Is that an issue now? Because I think, you know, using Liverpool as an example, and now I know it's a totally different situation, but there are some similarities there in that without Suarez, without Sturridge, Liverpool, they fell to pieces. And people say, oh, strikers don't make that much difference to the players behind them, but it does when you have a striker who knows how to play a certain role because of the movement, because of the way they make themselves available, and because they finish half chances and chances. And is that the issue?
I think the issue we've got with strikers is that we don't have one that can play in the system that Poyet puts out. There's all
exactly.
Do, they all
so
do
will
different
it make,
things.
Will it make a massive difference if he goes and gets somebody... Who does?
They basically need
Wilfried Bonny.
Like that type of player.
He'd be great, wouldn't he?
You know, a better Gibril Cissé type of player. Someone who is going to come short. Someone who's going to go in behind. Someone who's got pace. Someone who's a goal threat. At the moment, Fletcher, like he says, he's going to come in. He's going to come deep. And at home, that is an issue. Because you can't get out. You need to have a threat in behind to try and stretch the game. That's why he's picked out the door. It's understandable from a logical perspective from that. But even Poyet, I mean, he didn't exactly sing out the door's praises in that. He was like, Josie does that better than Fletcher. Fair enough. Wickham, you know, what is Wickham? We don't know. I mean, he's playing from the left and he's doing a decent job. But, you know, Wickham only arrived, really, you know, 5 months ago, 6 months ago, whatever. Well, it's a bit longer than that, isn't it?
Well, I want to talk
week,
about...
But what I would say is that you've put us off now. What I was going to say to you, Stephen. Thanks
Sorry.
For that.
We're going to talk about Wickham and players we could perhaps have in the team anyway. Shall we hear from Gus on it first? About the centre-forward situation.
The centre-forward situation. I thought that was in the tactics, mate. Maybe it wasn't. Let's find out.
Maybe I'm wrong. We should pay attention more.
We'll find out.
That's a question that I think is in each of us, a recruitment system. You know, I think it's, I cannot be answering for everything because we've got that system in place. There is people that are in charge and I'm training the team and putting them in there and making sure they do the best they can. And this, I promise you, is the best we can. Then all the responsibilities, they are not in my hands, so it's up to them. A person that doesn't have an absolute clue about football, not to realise what we're missing. Okay, I think even if you listen to the radio, you know, watching the game, you know what we're missing. So, as you can imagine, yes, they know. But they knew it, and if they don't know it, they got a problem. They are not good enough. They shouldn't be working at this level. So, we see. I'm waiting. We see.
It's kind of the centre-forward situation, because that's him saying, we need a centre-forward, and Lee Congerton needs to know that. isn't it?
I'm struggling with the idea of who would fit this system. I'm no scout, you know. Obviously, I'm not aware of every striker in the world, but what kind of strengths are we looking for? I mean,
And what's interesting is the remit that Lee Congdon has, or the one he's created for himself, is that he would like, ideally, players who have played the Premier League before, English players. Now, where are you going to find one of those who will play that role?
He's going to have to expand from his remit.
Well, he's going to have to break
The closest
break
you can think of that, I think, if you're thinking of someone like Bonnie, is Carroll. And there's no way on earth we're getting him.
That's not going to happen, is
so
it?
So you can discount him. Lambert, no. I'm starting to run out of ideas now already.
They're going to have to think outside the box, aren't they? It's going to have to be somebody from the continent.
Grant Holt.
They need, like, a... You know, like that. Maybe someone who isn't gonna. You know, do you go into it thinking we need somebody who's gonna do this long term? Well, or do you pick somebody? Do you pick somebody like, I don't know, like when Newcastle signed CC or Barr, somebody like that who's gonna come in and offer you something different? And he might have his faults, but if you get him in form, he's gonna give you a good 6 to 12 months, and then. It helps you out for that period, and then you can bring somebody else in.
That's what's interesting for me, because I've just mentioned Lee Congdon's remit there. Now, what he said, isn't it, that he wants young players, ideally as well, young, hungry players. Now, Conor Wickham's just signed a new contract. Gus has already said that he will end up through the middle, and this is part of his football education now. So, again, Lee Congdon can afford a break out of that remit, can't he, on this example, because if Conor Wickham is seen as that player...
Eventually.
For the long term, then we can now perhaps go and sign somebody more experienced who you're just going to get 18 months, 2 years from, just to help the side, help the balance of the side, and somebody kind of will learn from.
Aside from systems and stuff like that, and everybody will have their opinions on out the door whether he should have started or not. People will say, and rightly, or Fletcher's got more chance of taking opportunities when presented, and that sort of thing. But let's be honest. Fletcher's been in good form recently, but he's hardly been smashing the manager's door down. Same with Wickham, he scored, seven goals this year, five back in the last season, and two this season. One of them was cleared off him. Fair enough, he got himself into that position. So
one
I'm not going to take that away
one in
from
the cup
him.
As well.
Well, he scored a few. Did he score one in the cup? Right, Wickham.
Burnham,
out the door got one in
the
cup.
Yeah.
And he scored, that was it this season, he's got one in the cup. Mm. Fletcher's got four league goals this season. Now, It's not like they're going, I'm scoring, you know, every week or whatever, or one and two. They're not. Like, so how can... If you're not going to justify... The only way you're going to stay in the team is a striker if you score regularly. If you're not doing that, then they'll start looking at ways to get the best out of players around the forward. And at the moment, that's the situation they're in. They're not playing the striker that's going to score goals, because you can't guarantee it. Because they haven't played to the extent as well as they can, where they can show that they can score goals regularly, and that's why he's having to go, well, I'm going to have to play out the door here, because he'll give us this element, and that might stretch it, so it'll create space for people like Johnson and then Alvarez when he comes on later, things like that. So I don't know what people will say about Wickham, he should be playing through the middle because he's a striker and he's wasted from the left.
I don't think he's ready yet.
But I don't think he's ready yet. No, I don't think he's ready yet. He's only 21. But he's doing a decent, to be fair, he's doing a decent job from the left. I'm a massive critic of him, but he's doing fine. Some of his decision making is still absolutely disgraceful. apart from that,
if that isn't working though, Craig, because he did, again, I thought he was okay the weekend, Wickham. But if it isn't working, if we aren't scoring goals from it, what needs to give?
This is the thing when Gareth was saying that stuff, and I can't disagree with any of it. It's just that does it become an issue where you say, right, well, to win a game, I need to change it, and I've got these strikers, and this is Fletcher's the one who is the most likely to score goals. Is there a way I can change the team to create more chances for him, rather than, I see what you're saying about out the door, but he's never going to score. It just isn't going to happen, right?
Absolutely not.
So if he's not going to score, and you bring him in to open up space for the other players, or any of the other players in that team, prolific enough to guarantee that we're going to win games? Well, what's becoming increasingly apparent is the answer is no. Johnson scores, maybe he's get you 7 or 8 a season, but they'll come in a purple patch. Someone like Larson might score 3, 4, 5. Gomez might get you, look, judging on what we've seen, 5 or 6. That's fine if you supplement it with someone else who's going to bang a few in, and frankly, they aren't doing that. And I don't know what it is, I'm no technical mastermind or anything, but something somewhere, if you want to win games, it can't just be that sort of, in inverted commas, solid midfield three. I think ultimately somebody like Giaccarini is probably going to have to come in, and whether you then use Fletcher or you go with Wickham, who we've mentioned several times had a nice little partnership with Giaccarini back into last season, that might be what you do, or you go bog standard 4-3-3 and you take your pick between Fletcher and Wickham to go through the middle
and then introduce someone like Alvarez as well
during
as
the game.
I think the issue, like you were saying, the reason he probably hasn't gone a bit more to play to Fletcher's strengths is I think that might be a bit of a step backwards in a way for the long term view of what he's trying to do with Sunderland. I think that after he had to rebuild after the Southampton game, he had to sort of almost take a step back in what he was trying to do, and now he's trying to build from the base that he created again last season. He had to repair that, and I think it's getting there, but he hasn't. I think we are three good players away from being a good team. I really do. It's just, you know, is the money going to be available to bring those three players in, and will the players who won't be available and will they want to come? That's going to be the key. And I think, you know, the striker situation, how tempted would you, if somebody put an offer in for, obviously he's going to sell out the door if an offer comes in for him,
which it will, I think, won't it?
And if it's a loan, I don't know how that helps Sunderland. Or
I think clearly Alador's done enough before he's moved to Sunderland in Holland to suggest that clubs on the continent would come in for him, I would have thought, and what he does for his country as well.
You'd think so. He's got a profile, unlike say Danny Graham, who costs £5 million, but only has a profile on a very small scale, where it was always going to be difficult to offload him. You're right about Alador. There's going to be clubs. I mean, we've already seen the likes of Lille and Werder Bremen, who are, for their size of the clubs, are struggling respectively in their leagues.
Bentner and Alador front, what a dream partnership.
Well, Bentner's at Wolfsburg.
Oh, of course, yeah.
We're doing actually really well.
What I was suggesting is that we bring Bentner back to Sunderland after his difficult spell at Wolfsburg.
I really like Bentner, but I don't think that's going
to happen. He would have been a good player in this system. I think he would have been a decent forward.
So do I. I like his movement and the way he plays. Player. But again, he's not going to stretch a great deal of goals.
He's not going to stretch people either. That's what they need. They need to go and find one of these players that, like, when West Ham signed the lad from the second division in France.
Sacco.
Someone like that. You just need to find someone from somewhere. It's harder to say it.
We get Defoe back, because that's what he tried to do, wasn't it?
It's easier to say than it is to find it. I do think that's the case, so they're just going to have to find this, you know, somebody a bit of a live wire, powerful, you know. They're going to have to find as close as they can to Wilfred Bony somewhere. That's what they need. That's exactly what the system needs. Stopping short of trying to buy Wilfred Bony, which is impossible.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to have to find. And how confident are you that they will?
Well, again, whether we do or don't, we need to offload somebody beforehand. Yeah. There's no way it was apparent in the summer that we couldn't sign someone for that central role because we had Wickham, Fletcher, Graham,
well, he
and
Alador. Because he said as much.
So Graham's gone temporarily, albeit.
Alador's going to go. And I'd be amazed if he didn't.
I suppose the great irony is, you say, about signing somebody like Wilfred Bony. He come in at the same time as Bony went into Swansea, Alador. And you just think, that's just the way it goes, isn't it? One comes in and looks like the excellent player that he is, and the other one looks like a player who is scoring a lot of goals in Holland but's going to struggle to do it in some of the bigger leagues. You know, we've seen it in the past with Mateo Kesman and say Van Nistelrooy, the difference between those two.
Alfonso Alves.
There you go. But it isn't pot luck, especially not now, not with the scouting networks that if we don't have it, we should have, because other clubs have proven that you can unearth talent for a decent fee, which also brings into question.
You've got Peller at Southampton as well.
Well, I wonder whether he might be a bit of a flash in the pan. I know Gareth has mentioned that.
Flash in the pan's better than what we have at the moment.
What if he does an Amiyazaki and never scores again?
Mm.
It, their bubble appears to have burst, or certainly deflated slightly.
Mm.
It's easy to say. I mean, even Papa C, say there's another player who come in and you thought, you know, you could sell him for £50 million. You'd be lucky to get the money back on him now.
And of course, we paid for his flight, remember?
Well,
obviously.
One of the great banters of the last 5 years.
Yeah. Top 100 post-war banters.
That's up there.
That's what we're going to be discussing on next week's show.
But thinking of value, when you think, right, So we're talking about, like, Gus has got an idea, a strategy, whatever you want to call it. Where does Rodwell fit into that, and why did we sign him?
Well, I was going to say the Rodwell thing is relevant, isn't it? Because I know, and Gareth keeps saying, we signed him for 5 years, you've got to see the big picture. But in the position Sunderland were in the summer, we probably didn't have the scope to plan for the future as much. I mean, you're going to spend arguably all your available transfer funds on one player. He needs to come in and do better, doesn't he? Frankly.
It's not even necessarily whether he does, like, well or bad, which obviously it does matter, but at the moment I know, like, Chris has been on from ALS has been on and said something similar, and I'm starting to feel inclined to agree. I'm not sure Gus knows what to do with him.
Is now, the fact he just became available,
if that could be the case,
and the thought he's a centre midfielder, we need a centre midfielder.
I hate to make comparisons with them, but you look at Sissoko at Newcastle and Pardew didn't have a clue what to do with him for ages. And then because Kabay's left, he's ended up having to put him in central midfield. And lo and behold, he's a good central midfield player. And I think what Gareth said in the past is true with Rodwell. Unfortunately for Rodwell, Larson's playing so well, he's undroppable. But that's where he needs to be playing, because I think that's where you'd notice that he can do the kind of things that maybe Sissoko's doing at Newcastle, which is drive from deep with the ball. So maybe in the long term, maybe you're right, but that will come good.
He should be doing more to make himself undroppable when he comes on.
But he's playing him in a position where you're going to look at him and think, why have we spent that money on him when we're desperate for players in other areas? It's the same with Bridcut. He's a good player, but you think, well, that money, which wasn't massive, but it was substantial, and you start thinking, well, could that have gone somewhere else?
I'm happy with Bridcut as cover. It's important that we've got quality in.
I couldn't agree more, but we've seen this in the past where we're building a squad before we've got a first team. I just feel like maybe some of the targeting in the transfer window could have been slightly better.
But just think,
maybe
what
I'm
got,
being harsh.
Just think what you got to look forward to. We've done all the squad buys now. Now we're going to add the quality in. It's going to second half of the season. We'll just go on this blazing run. Probably finish seventh, something like that.
It's a bold
statement.
Easy. We'll sign some random player from the Spanish third division. And he's going to do really well.
What's going to happen is we're going to sign a forward, and the YouTube clips are going to go.
What we're going to do is going to sign.
He's the answer. He's the answer. This time we've got it right, and it'll come and stink the players out. Inevitably.
We're going to try and sign Barini for the entire January, not get him, and then get Yannick Sagbo on loan. That's what's going to happen.
Shefki Kucci's.
Yeah, he's available. Yeah. He's available on the free.
Well, we know if Gus has got anything to do with it. He likes his South Americans, doesn't he? So
Lee Congan, on the other hand, doesn't.
Scott Goh, he's coming back.
They've not done very well with him back in the
season.
No, pretty poor. So
he got sent off the other week, didn't he? A red.
He got sent off in the derby for insinuating the ref was on the take. It was quite.
Is that what he wrote in the referee's report? Is that what it came up on the ticker at the bottom? Insinuating the ref was on the take.
And then he just said, "It's just banter. It was only banter."
That's what he learned. That was the one thing he got from his time in England. Yeah. The lad Bible.
Sorry, but I've been playing the Premier League and I learned banter.
He learned it. It was banter was flying around. That's what he said. This is the kind of thing. And then, he did a banter vine of himself. He like had a phone and he did a banter vine with a referee. And then all
the betting companies pinched it.
And he
posted it as their own.
That's exactly what happened.
And copyrighted it. Probably.
Do you think it's the same guy and he just has all those bases covered? He gets paid off them all.
He's rolling in notes or something.
And he just switches accounts and just posts the same thing. Mm. Yeah. It would be easiest way to do it, wouldn't it?
Idea, actually.
All right. Well,
that would be the job, banter stealer.
The banter thief. It could be a sort of like blockbuster film, couldn't it?
Sean Connery is the banter thief.
I was thinking, you know, you could get your Liam Neeson's in there. He's had a resurgence.
Hasn't he? Ryan Reynolds for the younger generation, he would be the banter. It might be a bit of a rom-commy feel about
it.
The banter thief. It might be a bit sort of, oh my god, I stole your banner. It might be some sort of weird thing like that.
Jack Black would be the man if you're going to go.
He would be like the original banter maker. Mm. He would be the one who like does all the banters. And then like Ryan Reynolds like steals the banter.
I don't know if they would get banter in America. Maybe we need to transpose this.
What would
to
it be
British
called
culture?
In America?
It would be like the LOL thief or something, wouldn't it?
LOL thief.
I don't know. In America, though, was, you're busting balls, aren't you, in America?
Yeah. Ball buster.
The ball buster thief.
The ball buster thief.
Yeah. I don't know what that
Something
would
like
no,
that.
I don't
Sounds
that
a bit dodgy,
work.
That one, doesn't
I don't
it?
Think that would work. No. Who would you have in the English one? Benedict Cumberbatch, he's in at the moment. Give it a bit more of a regal feel.
Too much gravitas.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
This would be more of a working class.
Miranda.
Miranda.
Miranda would accidentally steal the banter and then fall over.
Mrs. Brown's banter.
Anyway,
you basically put the word banter in any sentence and you'll be laughing.
It feels like Matt Pipe was on the podcast.
Yeah, he was loving the banter.
Too much banter.
Well, it is too much banter because we need to draw things to a close so we can all go
already?
For a quick pint in a production meeting. Yeah,
oh, well,
yeah, it flew over, Craig. We've done the 45 minutes.
A cup of tea for me, I think.
Right. Oh, well, thanks for coming in, Craig, anyway.
Oh, that's fine.
Next
anytime.
Time you'll be in, your beard will be even wetter.
Well,
Wasaya.
Maybe it will. Or maybe.
Wasaya.
I'll be living in the trees.
You want Ryan Reynolds won't be stealing that bit of banter, will he?
Newcastle analysis is next up, which we're nervous about already, I think.
But you'll have a double helping next week because we're doing the Into the Light show on the Tuesday, aren't we? So you'll have post-match Monday and then Tuesday, bang, two previews on Tuesday.
I don't think.
What a Christmas present that is.
I can't even bear the thought of it at the minute. Like, no, it's weird. I'm not like getting nervous, but I'm like, I don't know. It's got 1-0 them, hasn't it?
No. Don't right. We haven't got time for this.
Sorry,
we really haven't. No,
just bring in the banter full.
I'm going to bring on the Oscar music now. Right, thanks for listening. Over and out, banter.